Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
And your faithful message day. I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give, but I'm grateful for your mercy, and I'm grateful for your grace, and because of how you poured out yourself, I have come.
Good evening and welcome to Star Bright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. Father, my God, we thank you, we praise you, worship you, adore you, for indeed there's none like thee, O Lord. Who can compare to thee? When we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, our very soul shouts hallelujah. Praise God for saving us. Father, my God, we just commit this time into your hands. We soak ourselves in the blood of Jesus. We soak our thinking in the blood of Jesus. We soak everything connected to us in the blood of Jesus. And we ask that, Lord, you will continue to direct us and we will hear your voice directing us the way we should go. Father, my God, anything that looks like confusion, we come against it. We come against it and we stay focused upon you. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue with pressing forward, a topic we've been doing for some weeks. And one of the things I want us to really have in mind, that when we're pressing forward, we have to really be fixed and transfixed on the destination. You know, when an athlete, you know, is in training, they're training with the end in mind, winning the medal, improving their averages, but they have a target in mind and they're running that race, heading towards the prize. We are heading towards a prize, towards the promises God has promised. But the enemy is going to use all sorts to endeavor to distract us, to get our focus off. And we have to press forward and focus in on what God has in store for us. Now, when we're pressing in, because remember, we are aiming with that, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. When we're pressing forward, the enemy is going to be saying all sorts, not only to distract us, but also to get us to lose focus and vision for what, you know, God has in mind for us. The enemy can even cause people that we think should know better to say and do the wrong things. Because, thank you, Holy Spirit, Peter was very close to Jesus. And one time, you know, he encouraged that they should stay at a place. One time he said, another time he said, you know, he denied Jesus. So even people that are close to us, that we think should know better, can say and do the wrong thing. And they may not even be fully aware. You know, they may say and do something that triggers and connects to a past, connects to something else, that will make you feel or think or hear something that discourages you, causes you to question, be unstable, anything. And we have to focus in and almost get deaf ears to certain things. You know, almost just not, almost can come across like you're ignoring others around you. But as well, you've got to stand your ground, because the enemy is going to want you to compromise, and you need to stand your ground on what you know you ought to do, should do, in all those things. You've got to stand your ground, because if you don't stand your ground, you yourself will leave room for the enemy to come in and capitalize on the fact that you've left a little gap there in the fence. Now, we have been looking at Moses focusing in, and I'm going to look Exodus 14 verse 19. Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other. It lit up, so it can be quite bright. It might even have appeared a bit confusing. It might have even appeared a bit disorientating. And I'm going to read it in another translation. says, then the angel of God, who was leading the people of Israel, moved to the position behind them. Moved. So, that which was leading, the other version said going before the host, the people of Israel, moved behind. And the pillar of cloud also moved behind them. The cloud settled between the Israelite and Egyptian camps. As the night came, the pillar of cloud turned into a pillar of fire, lighting the Israel camp. But the cloud became darkness to the Egyptians, and they couldn't find the Israelites. So the cloud settled. And this is why it's good, different translation, because it gives you a different, because the other translation says cloud and darkness, and lit up. But this one tells us that, well, even gives us more detail, and tells us that, and the pillar of cloud moved around behind them. The cloud settled between the Israelite and Egyptian camps. So that means they were quite close by, close together. As night came, so that's another, time. As night came, so it's not instantaneous, the pillar of cloud turned into a pillar of fire, lighting the Israelite camp. But the cloud became darkness to the Egyptians, and they couldn't find the Israelites. So that the cloud, for want of a better description, part of the cloud became thickness, became cloud, formed like a heaviness, a weight. And the other part that was near the Israelite was shining bright, was lighting. But behind it, there was a darkness. And it's very hard to imagine that, because we might not have seen it. But I want us to, sometimes you might have been caught in a place where you look in the sky, one part of the sky looks really bright, the other one is like really thick cloud and dark, really dark. So this is how it must have appeared, that cloud had two forms within it, had two views, had two perspectives. So depending whether you were on the Lord's side or not, depending on what was revealed to you. So they had to look with eyes of faith to see and to see what God was doing. They could not look, you know, any other way but with the eyes of faith. Now, that means there's a lot of trust in the Lord. And he said, the other translation says, there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. So the Egyptians could not see, could not find, could not come close to the Israelites. So the cloud covered them, but also shielded the enemy from seeing the fullness of the Israelites. This can be quite, you know, has different dimensions of even maybe making you feel a bit like, wow, how can this be, etc. They were following the cloud. They were following. That was their sign. That's what they were following. Even when they don't know what to do, they were following. Even if they didn't know what to say, they were following. But that which was ahead of them, that was a sign that God was with them, now migrated to behind them. And some would have seen from a distance. Now some would have probably got a bit disorientated because they think, well, we can hear the Egyptians, so why is it gone behind there? Some, as we've seen in the earlier verses, why have you brought us here to die, will have been uttered. There will have been a lot of different types of confession. I want us to apply it to our lives now. What is whispering or speaking that is making you feel that which God has promised is not going to happen? What you're looking at now looks so disorientated. The signs you are following they're not very clear. In fact, it looks really disorientating, like, is it actually going to happen? All the signs that show that, well, maybe success is sure, is now looking a bit upside down. And if that is happening to you, I want you to remember this, because we have to stay focused and not get ruffled by what we see. And I can assure you, it's easier said than done. You know, there's some things I'm endeavoring myself to stay focused on God and not get ruffled. Now, sometimes you're going to get ruffled, and you may tell yourself that you might say some things that you ought not to say. But once you catch yourself, just tune back into God. Tune back into God. Find people that you can link your faith to, so that you can believe for the fullness of what God has in store. Because the fullness of what he had in store for the Israelites was beyond their imagination and comprehension. And I really believe we're in that season of beyond our imagination and comprehension. But we have to follow the instructions to the letter. Now, our old nature is going to rise up to maybe distract us, confuse us, cause us to doubt, cause us to run helter and the skelter, cause us to do everything that we ought not to do. You know, it says earlier, let me just see. Okay, in chapter 13, it says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The giant that you see today, you'll never see again. The situation, the words that you're hearing, you'll not hear again. And it says, don't be afraid, just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. We need to stand still and wait for the Lord to rescue us from the situation that we are in. It's, you know, sometimes we think of everything, it's what we have sinned, what we have sinned, what we have done. There's some things, it's further back than us. But you know, it says that scripture, I paraphrase, the fathers have eaten grapes and the children's teeth are on edge. Sometimes your teeth are on edge, as it were, not because of what you have directly done, but is what is there. And God is using you to evict that giant, to evict that situation, to overcome that situation and focus in on what He has in store. Now, in that wait, everything they were following disappeared and went behind. And as I said, it's disorientating. Some people may have turned to start following the signs. Oh no, they've missed it, they've turned, let's go this way. Some may have felt quite abandoned, that we were just going this way, what is all this? I can't see what we were following. Some might have felt quite lost, confused. Some might have felt that, did they make a mistake? Because you know, it says that, and we can pick this up by let me just, in verse 11, then they turned against Moses and complained, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave? They were suffering. They were suffering. But in that pinch point, in that time, no criticism, but this is what they cried out. What do you cry out in that point? What do you believe? God, help us. Help us not to believe the whispers of the enemy. Help us to believe God for the very best. Help us to hold on. Help us, Lord, help us to hold on to you for that very best and not believe situation and circumstance. Because situation and circumstance is not the full picture. It's only the part that we can see. You know, if I'm walking down a road and the road bends, I can't see round the bend. I have to just keep walking, trusting in the view that is in front of me. And at a certain point, I'm going to see round the corner to bend, but not beforehand. And this is how we have to be. that when with the Lord, that sometimes we're going to walk straight, and at some point we're going to see what's around the corner. We're going to see the fullness of the promise. We're going to see all those things. But we have to keep walking that path. We have to keep walking. Our perspective on what is occurring can impact the move we make in a situation. You know, some conclude it is not effective, impactful, respond to things instead of to God. The Lord help us to respond to Him and not what situation, circumstance is whispering and shouting to us in Jesus' name. Help us. Part of this as well, thank you, Holy Spirit, is for us to know our worth. Know that we're valuable to God. Do you really understand that you're worth and value? Do you really understand how precious, how valuable? Sometimes we've allowed situations, circumstances to tell us our worth and our value, and they've only picked up a snippet. God so loved the world that He gave. The Lord loved, He treasured, He watched over, He gave. God, to help us to hold on to that. Now in verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night. All night. Then Moses, this is another translation. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night. All that night. That situation of changing something happened for a season. You know, I often imagine, especially in recent times, I'm drawn to an imagery of Moses standing at the edge of the shore, holding up his staff faithfully and hearing so much commotion as the, you know, waters are moving back, as the fish, whatever creature that is there, is moving back, moving out of the way. I can just imagine the commotion. And because it says all night, I know that they didn't blink. 1 minute the water was there, 1 minute it was not. That it took time. What God is doing is taking time in our lives. It's taking time. Because in of ourselves, we can't cope if we with something happening too quickly, and it needs a season. All night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Wow. All night. Okay. So the people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the water being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So from this description, it was like they probably could see fish, you know, it was at a level at that. However it occurred, my brain is too small to comprehend how the whole fullness of it all, but it took all night for that to make it safe for the Israelites to cross. We're going to have a break, and after the break we're going to look more into this. Okay, we'll be back after the break.
Where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Come on, let's sing this all together. Say,
and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want.
Come on and lift up your voice.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want.
Calvary, let's sing this all together. Sing.
Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender.
Oh, this is my surrender.
This is my surrender.
Oh,
here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Oh, 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 o
To do whatever he wants to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses made room for the Lord to do whatever he wanted to. He just stayed transfixed. Father my God, forgive us where we've lost our focus. Where we've looked at situation, circumstance, where it's caused us to doubt, to shake. Because as the song says, your way is better. Break down every wall of what we have predicted over ourselves, of what we've believed, because your way of doing it is better. Lord, realign our thinking, realign our belief system, realign everything that is faulty and shaking to stand firm so that we will see the salvation of the Lord. Help us to know that we know that we know that God is not a man that would lie, neither would he boast. Neither is he going to put us to shame. He doesn't do that. He does not put us to shame. He doesn't make our lives uncomfortable just because. Oh Lord, realign us, realign us. Realign us so we make it to the finish line. Realign us, Jesus, realign us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our perspective, what is occurring, can impact the move we make in a situation. Some conclude it is not effective, impactful. Respond to the thing instead of God. You know, he says, the sea was parting all night, like I said. So it took time. It wasn't instantaneous. So the things of God take time. Yes, God can do a suddenly, but it takes time. There's a timing to everything. Says in verse 22, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters being a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Now, this is important. This is important to note. Very important to note. Very, very important. That it gets to a place that the enemy even will have a boldness. That even the way you're walking, the enemy will look, the enemy chased after them. So let's not be surprised that the way of escape that the Lord makes, let's not just walk nonchalantly through, but with determination and focus, either run through, go through it with a determination and focus. Let's not be one standing and say, oh, they fish, oh, they what? No, with the determination and focus. Because the Egyptians pursued in that miracle pursued. How bold was the enemy to pursue? How bold? I'm reminded of what we often say, so his glory can be revealed. If the enemy is not defeated, if that situation is not defeated, how can God's glory be revealed? How can the testimony be received? You know, I can imagine them crossing the water, and just believing and holding it that the water is going to stay on either side. And the Egyptians seeing that and not even stopping to say, ah, this thing looked like their God has done something. No, didn't. And they just, he said, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. There's a level of boldness, a level maybe of carelessness, I'm not even sure what I can say. But early in the morning, the Lord looked down on the Egyptians. Then the Egyptians, all the Pharaoh's horses and chariots and the charioteers followed them across the bottom of the sea. It says, and in the morning, watch the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic. So while they were in, the enemy, can you imagine? You get to a place that what the way of escape for you becomes a trap to the enemy that causes a sort of confusion. God, 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 in your mercy. You know, the Lord caused a confusion and a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against Egyptians." Okay. Okay, let me read the next translation. "But early in the morning, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of cloud, fire and cloud, and threw them into confusion. Their chariot wheels began to come off, making their chariots impossible to drive. 'Let us get out of here,' the Egyptians shouted. 'The Lord is fighting for Israel. The Lord is fighting for Israel against us.'" Now it says, "When all the Israelites were on the other side, the Lord said to Moses, 'Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back over the Egyptian chariots and charioteers.'" So the same strategy God had given Moses to part the sea, when everybody was the last person, the last maybe animal, whatever, of the Israelites that had crossed over to the other side, Moses lift up your hand, and this water started coming back. Moses did the unusual as instructed to get the unusual. The people of Israel had to step forward through the unusual signs they had been following, where were now behind them, that they almost could say their safety net was gone. You know, you didn't want to say to anyone something, and then for a reason it's now been exposed. You feel quite vulnerable. This is what we need to do. They had to trust that though not as they had planned, it will not overcome them. We have to trust that though it's not as we planned, it will not overcome. It will not defeat us. Amen. That it will hold in place till they cross the water. Now in verse 24, we see the Lord was in the pillar of fire and cloud. He was in the midst of the whole situation. So even though it said the pillar of cloud, it said it says the Lord was in. So even if they didn't know, it said the Lord was in. So in our situation, God is in our situation. Ah, thank you, Jesus. He's not far off. So the fire and the cloud being behind them was God protecting their back. You know, the arm of God has nothing in the back, but God was protecting their back. God protected the area that was most vulnerable. We receive that for ourselves in the name of Jesus. But you know, they didn't have this perspective at this time. All they could see was it would just move and was not in front, and they probably felt like panicking. But I want to also bring out the point that which was a way of escape became a trap for the enemy. That which was a way of escape, that which was an opening, that which God had used to open, now became a trap. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we look to you, we will not be overwhelmed. Lord, you are fighting our battles for us. You are making a way. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. Lord, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all you've done, our very soul shouts hallelujah. Praise God for saving us. We are in a season where we're coming up to Pentecost. And Lord, you did something so unusual. Help us to tap into the unusual that you're doing in this season, in the name of Jesus. Help us to draw, you know, that into our present day. And though everything, the Egyptians are shouting a contrary wind, Lord, help us, like Moses, to focus upon you, knowing that you have a way for us. Forgive us for our doubts. Forgive us for our fear. Forgive us for our confusion. Forgive us that when we even shout like the Israelites, are there not enough graves in Egypt? Was it not bad enough before? At least we knew how to navigate that. No. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us when we doubt, when we fear. Forgive us when we look at our situation and say that that is our outcome. When you, Lord, are the one that is doing something new. You said to the disciples, you said to your people, stay, stay. And you're sending a helper. Help us to stay in the position you've asked us to stay, because you are doing something great and wonderful, which will testify of your goodness in the land of the living. Father, my God, we're grateful. We're grateful, Daddy. We're grateful, King of Kings. We're grateful, Lord of Lords. Adonai, we praise your holy name. You are worthy of it all. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful. Forgive us for doubt, fear, and confusion. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to stay gripped onto you and focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now. Just like you, Jesus. I wanna pray like you. Wanna look like you. I wanna look like you. Just like you, Jesus. I wanna walk like you. I wanna talk like you. I wanna live like you. Just like you, Jesus. I wanna pray like you. Wanna look like you. I wanna look like you. Just like you, Jesus.
Jesus, I wanna pray like you. Just like you, Jesus, I wanna imitate your ways for the rest of my days. Respond just like you in all that I say and do. I wanna walk
like you.
I wanna talk like you.
Talk like you.
I wanna live like you. Like you, Jesus. Just like you, Jesus.
Just like you, Jesus.
I wanna walk.
Walk like you.
I wanna talk like you.
Talk like you.
Live like you. Just like you, Jesus.
Just like you, Jesus.
I wanna pray.
Pray like you.
Yeah.
Pray like you.
I wanna look like you. Just like you, Jesus. Just like you. Just like you. I wanna be. Just like you, just like you, just like you. Help me to be just like you. Walk like you,
wanna walk, wanna
talk like you.
Wanna talk, wanna talk.
Help me to live just like you.
Wanna live, wanna
lay like you.
Wanna love
like you.
Wanna look, wanna
love. Help me to look. Just like you.
I wanna live, wanna live.
I wanna live, wanna live.
I wanna live, wanna live.
To get you.
I wanna live, wanna live.
Just like you. Just like you.
Wanna live, wanna live. Like
I wanna live,
wanna live. Live, wanna live,
live like, like you.
I wanna live, wanna live.
Help me to live. Just like you.
I wanna live, wanna live.
Walk like you.
I wanna walk, wanna talk like you.
I wanna talk, wanna talk. Help me to live. Just like you.